You are now tuned in to Let's Talk Forella, and this is a new segment I like to call Cypher Something. I have some guest stars with me that I'm going to introduce you after this amazing beat. Shouts out to Bob. Blah!
And I get serious, man. That's why if we gonna talk,
bro, we could talk. Let me do this intro, and then we could periodically still beat each other ass as long as you could keep the flow with the podcast and we could play chess. That's
if,
all
if,
good.
If I signal this, that's when I know my competitive edge will start kicking in. Then I'll be quiet.
Okay, so let me start off by saying this is Let's Talk Forella. It is Sunday afternoon. I'm here. Y'all already heard him already in the intro. He doesn't know that I'm recording because that raw material, having conversation starts. That's what I love to hear. But I'm here with my best friend of over 11 years, fresh from the motherfucking pee. This guy, most legendary man I know, my boy Josh Francisco, man. What's up?
Hey, what's good, guys? I'm back. I had to run it back because, like I said, the first episode, I was too intense.
He was uptight, y'all. He had his ass cheeks clenched the whole episode.
Hey, man, it was my first time. I tried to be cool, but now I'm just letting that shit slide. I'll say whatever I want to say, and then
whether it's offensive or not.
Yeah.
Whether we mention somebody's bitch tits.
Come on, man. You let that shit slide. Hey, shout out to my brother.
Hey, look. Why you mentioning your brother? All I said was bitch tits.
I was trying to say shout to everybody I know. That's all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So shouts out to all loved ones. Go ahead.
Yep, there you go. So basically, I've been out of the country for so long.
Yes.
And then I don't have an idea of how life works. Well, I know how life works, but then the whole adult life, I'm not used to that yet.
Yeah.
Cause like with me, I'm pretty good at studying, reviewing and stuff, but the whole budgeting, then doing meal prep and stuff, I'm not into that yet.
Okay.
So how do you handle the adult life since right after high school?
Ooh, okay, so one thing I will say is adult life is definitely something that school parents definitely already went.
You already went?
Yeah, I already went.
You see this? He trying to play me right now.
Bro, I just moved a pawn. Look, y'all, we playing chess. I still want to beat his ass. He trying to make it seem like he need to wait for me. So I already went. I went right here.
You are right there.
Yeah.
All right, then.
So one thing that I will say is that adult life, dude, is it's all about having a goal, working towards that goal, and then 100,000% has to start with your mental. Because when you first get into, like, the whole adult life of trying to pay bills and trying to stack your credit, it's like, all too often, you see a lot of folks our age living above their means because they don't really understand the value of a dollar or understanding how to look at money or understanding how to really have an end game of when it comes to your money. Because if you think about money as just paper that I'm gonna get back later, I promise you that will be your fucking life for the rest of your life. You gotta look at money as emotions. One thing you
define that as
emotions with an E.
Okay.
With an E.
Define
meaning
that.
A way of buying shit on impulse. That's emotion. That's your desire getting out of hand. When your friends go on a trip and you go buy a trip that you can't afford, that you didn't budget for, but you're gonna put it on your card and say that you're gonna pay it off later. But in reality, you need to even teach yourself to save up money for that trip.
For that trip.
That also right there is greed and envy, emotion getting in the way of you valuing your money right then and there. You making an emotional decision to get rid of that money for whatever means that you get shoes to feel good about yourself. You go shopping to feel good in a moment. Money is emotion. Money is all about emotion and it's all about life force. Like, when you look at money, one thing that adult life won't teach you is think about it as your life. Say you make $10 an hour. Uh-huh. This water bottle right here costs $20 an hour. You might sit there and think to yourself, oh, boom, an 8-hour shift, I could buy 4 of those water bottles. When it's like, in reality, this one water bottle is 2 hours of your whole fucking life. 2 hours of your whole life just went to this. You go buy some Jordans. On average, if you want to make minimum $350 a day, you minimum must have an income of at least $39.97 an hour. Uh-huh. To at least hit $4 a day at an eight-hour schedule. And it's like, if you're not making $40, you're not making $400 in a day. Uh-huh. Because anything under that, under 8 hours, you don't work your life off of the OT that you work. You work it off of the minimum, because if you work it over the maximum, you can't give maximum 365 all year round. So that's why you got to focus on shit as, if I work my 8 hours, how much of this is this of my life? So if you go buy some Jordans, that's like $350. Uh-huh. And you got a $25 an hour job, that means them Jordans cost you 2 days of your 5-day work week that you can't get back. So instead of looking at it as, oh, I'm gonna get a check again later, think about those two days
that you could be spending on with,
that could be spent on something else,
like food. Okay.
Like food. Like, think about how, as kids, how impulsive were we to have the hottest shoe, the hottest clothes, the hottest hoodie, the hottest, newest, top of the line, anything. Bro, me and you can really go toe to toe on sneaker addiction and how bad.
For sure, right?
But think about it like this. What was your mindset? Not the money that you had at the time.
It was at the moment.
At the moment, yeah. What was your mindset when you were spending your entire week's check on three pairs of shoes? You was just sitting there like, bro, I'm finna be fly until about 2 weeks. Mom and dad got me, car got gas. If I really need it, I could go, bitch to my mom and ask for $100, and I'm good for 2 weeks.
So that was the mental switch, like, oh yeah.
My mental switch was, I know the lifestyle that I want for myself, that I'm going to have for myself, not the lifestyle I wish I had, not the lifestyle that I wish I could obtain. The lifestyle that I'm gonna have, that I'm working towards every single day, I knew could not be obtained from, one, having one job and career. Yes, my career is great, but at the end of the day, it's only one leg above water. If my job tomorrow shut the fuck down, my one leg is cut off and my entire foundation will crumble. So, your foundation, your castle,
listen, you good, man?
Yeah, my allergies is fucking up. Uh-huh. But when you build a house, when you build a castle, when you build a wall, you always start off with the foundation. The wood. Uh-huh. Not the concrete, not the steel. The wood, the basis, the blueprint of... You build the frame of the house before you build a house. Why? Foundation. Because you're visualizing how your house is going to look. Uh-huh. So when I'm visualizing the lifestyle that I want for myself, I know for 100,000% my castle... My foundation, my income to help everybody can't be one leg. I can't build a castle on one beam of wood. Uh-huh. I have to have wood laid on a whole bunch of places simultaneously to hold that concrete into place to make that solid ground. I'm not in a rush to build a wall. If I wanted to build a wall, I could stack one brick on top of each other. But I want to lay down 1,000 bricks straight. In a row, back and forth.
Back and forth, yeah.
Because my foundation is going to be a lot more concrete. And I knew that I could not get there by staying in what I call the debt consumer cycle. It's the cycle that no matter what you do, everybody has a niche. You might be that guy, oh, I don't smoke. You might drink a lot of fucking creatine all the time. You might drink a lot of coffee all the time. You might smoke a lot of weed all the time. You might spend a lot of money all the time. No matter what we do in life, everything that you do has a reason for you to spend money on something that you do not need. So once I realized that the only reason I'm spending money is to be fresh, for other people.
For other people, yeah.
Bro, I was not spending $1,300 on shoes to look cool for my girl. Uh-huh. She my girl. She don't give a fuck. She done seen my dick on soft. She don't give a fuck about what I look like, what I got going on. So I realized I'm really doing this for other people. And then...
That was your mentality going?
That was the mentality. Uh-huh. Like, okay, I have a good job. I'm making good money. But it's like, boom, Louis Vuitton bag, $1,300 shoes, designer pants, designer shirt, nice-ass car, all these trips. Looks nice. But in reality, at the time, I was in the mindset of now that I have it, I need to look like I have it. So instead of valuing what the dollar was of my time, I was too busy worried about looking like I was that guy. So I'm spending hella fucking money on designer weed. Why? Because if you smoking weed with Dwayne, it's going to be the best. I'm spending hella money on shoes. Why? Because if you see me in some shoes, they're going to be the best.
So how long did it take you to flip the switch? Because with me...
COVID. When COVID hit and I realized that people was getting kicked out of their homes because only the husband worked. When I realized that mom and pop shops owned by entrepreneurs trying to get out of the rat race, they were being destroyed because a global pandemic that came along kicked them out of their jobs, but in reality made the real estate 3 times cheaper and made it so that nobody was able to jump into the real estate market at that time because everybody was too focused on losing everything. Uh-huh. So once I realized that the jobs that people have aren't guaranteed, that a global pandemic can happen overnight and ruin your whole fucking life, I realized, damn, I can't have one stream of income because it's... In reality, something happened to my job, I'm fucked. So I knew that the only way I can get out of that is by having more money than I spent. And the only way that I could do that is by saving more money than I made.
So you could say that the whole pandemic really opened your eyes.
The
whole adult life.
For me, honestly, it was that. It was my relationship. It was the fact that I wanted to change my lifestyle. I knew that I had to change how I looked at money. I had to change how I spent money. I knew that I had to save more money
than I spent. So how do you reward
yourself then? I set a goal, and anytime I hit that goal, I splurge at that goal. Okay. So
there's always a milestone then.
There's always a milestone. If you always have a milestone and you always have something that you're visually looking at, you will always get further in life, guaranteed, because if you just look at what you got today right here in the moment, you only be here today. Okay. You only gonna be in the moment. That's how you have folks get stationary and they get stuck, because when you're
rat race, right?
Rat race comes with contentment, comes with, I have a job enough to pay for my bills, I'm good. I have a career good enough to pay for my house, I'm good. Uh-huh. I don't want that. Like the lifestyle of buying a house, we at the place where we can go get a really nice house right now. But we can go get a really nice house with 2 jobs. Uh-huh. That's scary, because if something happened, then my one job is going to be the toothpick in the haystack to keep the lifestyle that I worked so hard for afloat. And guess what? It's a 30-year contract. I'm fucked if I can't make ends meet. And I'm fucked because I built my lifestyle off of guaranteed 2 jobs. Mm-hmm. And if my lifestyle doesn't have 1 job, the guarantee is over. Something has to go. Okay. So it's like, instead of being at the 2 streams of income, damn, I need crypto income. I took a step back and learned everything I needed to know about crypto. I need stock income. I took a step back and learned everything I needed to know about. I researched everything to a key, because money, if you fuck up some money in something that's not yours, people are not going to feel bad and give you your money back. They don't give a fuck.
For sure.
Nobody.
Because to me, I felt for that trap with crypto, man. Those Shiba coins, man. Don't get me started. October 31st, that shit was popping off. Then after that, it crashed. I'm like, man, why did I spend this much money? And all of a sudden...
But you know a way to combat that?
How?
Double the amount of money you put in. If you... If you're gonna deal with stocks and you don't want to take losses, buy it when it's low, and when it drops lower, double it.
Double it.
So if the stock is $50 and you put in $50 and it drops to $25, how much did you lose? $25. But guess what? Now that you're under $25, you put in another $50, you're now in $100, but now you own majority of your stocks at $25.
Okay.
So now that you own more stock at a lower price.
Or crypto,
uh-huh. When it shoots back up, you now got four stocks going up to 50.
Yeah, because like with me, man, at the same point, we're rambling about other stuff now. Like, let's focus on crypto. The whole crypto thing, it was down a few, March, right?
Yeah.
Early March,
uh-huh.
Late February, it was down. I'm like, okay, once I get paid, I'm gonna make a splash.
Your best bet, if you're a new person, uh-huh. And you're trying to get into crypto safely, Bitcoin, Ethereum,
Solana,
XRP, Solana. Uh-huh. Your absolute best bet is to just feed it. Water your plants. All trees start off as plants. All trees that live 1,000 years start off as a plant. So don't try to jump into the game with the motherfucking bush and your knowledge is seed level and you trying to jump in with a full grown bush. What are you doing? You don't know what it means to nurture up to this point.
It'll be like a tumbleweed.
It's going to tumble because all that money that you put into a market where you didn't gain knowledge from is gone.
That's why I'm scared to re-enter myself. Because like I said, those coins, those Shiba coins.
Put more money in. Uh-huh. But Shiba is one of those coins where a bunch of rich guys get together, say, hey, pump this up. They do it. As soon as you money get in, move. They jump out and you're fucked.
That's a money move.
Get, anytime you're looking at crypto, look at how it's going to be used, how it's going to be utilized. The whole reason that crypto is so huge now, especially XRP and Cardano, is because in places where cryptocurrency and money is not offered, like third world countries, like let's say Africa, specifically Senegal. Uh-huh. Senegal is a place where they do not use paper money at all. It is 100% crypto-based society. And also with 100% crypto-based society, you get the issue of if me and you were in South Africa and we robbed somebody for $250,000 in crypto, we can't go to jail. Because crypto is not seen as a worldwide commodity yet. So it can't be prosecuted as theft when just because in LA, we use it to go buy some coffee in China or, I don't know, fucking Bantu or somewhere in Africa, they don't even use money. They still trade in horses and cows. So if it's not a commodity that's globally recognized, then we can't be prosecuted.
Yeah, man, because like my brothers got me into like the whole field of stocks and crypto because like they said, Kuya, that's my name because that's my, they don't call me by my first name, it's Kuya. So they said that Kuya, you should get into like crypto and stocks. It's really a good field, but then you just gotta do your research. My dumbass did not do any research. I was like, oh, okay, I can make a splash. Let me get something that's up instead of what you just said.
Getting it while it's down.
Yeah,
you don't jump into nothing. You don't just, if now that you know that, you know that the only reason, hold on, I need to get some tissue. Sorry, y'all. I'm walking away periodically. My allergies is acting the fuck up. But now that you know that, it's like, did you ever go?
No, man. I'm too focused with this conversation, Yeah.
Now that you know that, it's like, okay, your biggest lesson was your lack of research. Your second lesson was you jumped in too big while it was huge. Because a lot of people jumped into Dogecoin, rumored that it was going to be a dollar. So they jumped in at 70 cents. When a couple of weeks ago it was only 30 cents. So if you jump in the wave while it's high, it's gonna crash. You don't get on the plane while it's in the air.
For sure. Hell yeah.
You get on it while it's parked, while it's loading passengers.
Uh-huh.
Because guess what? You jump on a plane that's in the air, it's gonna land soon. You just missed the whole ride up here. Now you gonna have to enjoy that ride down by yourself because you didn't come up. So it's like the best thing to do. I can put you on to a lot of podcasts that not only educate you in crypto, but they give contacts. Mm-hmm. So not only will they be like, hey, Josh, jump into XRP, they're going to tell you that, hey, XRP is going to be the next biggest thing compared to Bitcoin because XRP is so advanced, we don't have anything to mine it right now.
When did this whole crypto thing explode? During the pandemic too? Because a lot of things popped off in the pandemic.
It all, I'm saying. So look, so for one, you know how you said that you had like an ego change and a mindset change?
Oh, and, yeah, for sure.
You wasn't the only one. The pandemic not only was the biggest money market crash, but the pandemic was the largest spiritual awakening in human history. Like the largest awakening that we had on a level of waking the fuck up and really dissecting ourselves internally, because a lot of people had a lot of time to be alone with themselves and the inner thoughts to really understand that one source of income is too close to none.
For sure.
The
yeah.
government does not give a fuck about me, because in other countries they getting paid $2,000 a month. Uh-huh. Motherfuckers gotten 3, 4, 5 different stimulus checks. Meanwhile, your credit card going up. And then your bills are still getting shut off. And then it's like it was just too much going on. So it's like, knowing all that, and people knowing how one job is too close to none, before pandemic, $54 million was put into the stock market. Within 2 years of the pandemic, $540 million was put into the stock market. Uh-huh. That means that a lot of people understood that to have a solid foundation, you have to lay your wood everywhere. That's why people got into stocks. People who don't know shit about stocks, what do? They jumped into GameStop, and it changed a lot of people's fucking lives, because a lot of people yellowed it and understood that, what did I say about money earlier? It's emotion. Uh-huh. It has nothing to do with the value of the dollar. It's based off of emotion. Stocks is emotion. That's why when it comes to stocks, it's kind of scary to get into it, because if Josh has a company, and Josh's dentistry company stock is $120, and my company's bigger than his, and I say, hey, if you go over there, his dental worker calls your gums to bleed. Uh-huh. Your stock will fall and plummet that same exact day. So it's like, what's up?
Hope you guys enjoyed Cypher Something. I have plenty of content on the way. Check out Forella Galleria on Instagram. This is a new segment I'm adding to Let's Talk Forella, but I just wanted to give insight and feedback and perspective on certain topics and point of views from everybody's life. I hope you guys enjoy the beat, because we worked really hard on it. Shouts out to Little Uzi Squirt.